Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. Today, first one comes from Maggie, who says, I'm petite under 5 foot and a size 14 and find it impossible to find clothes that fit. My feet are also so tiny that there are a few adult options. Shoes that fit either, so wearing heels doesn't work. And I've got another one here from Deborah, who is also 4 foot 11 and has a large bust, and all tops make me look huge all over. So the thing is, when you are petite, we're talking really petite here. So petite in fashion sense is actually 5 foot four and under. I can never remember the centimeters for that. So when you are 4'11", when you're even under 5 foot, that's still like 5 inches shorter than what most petite clothes are actually made for. So they still are not going to fit well either. If you are busty, like Deborah, then think about, you need to have clothes that come in. Anything that's just big and baggy is going to swamp you. The biggest problem for petites is looking swamped by fabric. That can happen so easily, because I always think of being, you know, each of us, imagine we are rooms. So you can have a very large room. So that's a large scale person who's very tall. You can fit a lot of furniture in a large room. You can put a lot of stuff in there. So we can have, you know, more accessories, more details, more focal points, more patterns, more stuff going on, more fabric. If we're a medium size room, we can put a medium amount of size stuff in there. But if you are a tiny little room, you can't jam much in there before it looks like it's just overwhelmed by the stuff. It's very uncomfortable. And so when you are very petite, you will need to think about much less fabric, smaller patterns and all those sorts of things, so that the scale of everything is to your much more petite scale. Now, the problem is because you are not a large part of the population, certainly in the Western population, you'll find that clothing manufacturers really aren't doing it, because there's just not a large enough. It's the economies of scale, sadly. It means that they're not making the stuff for you. So there's a couple of things to think about. I mean, either you can get everything altered to fit you, but there's a lot of work and expense in that, or learning to sew. And I know this is not for everybody, but that gives you so much more control over what you get to wear. It could be something worth doing. Or otherwise, I would suggest finding a good dressmaker who can make things to fit you. And I know, I wish I could give you the, here is the perfect solution and I can magic some stuff up for you. But really, there isn't much I can do. I have no control over the fashion retail sector. And this is just a money-making sector like every other business. These people are out there to make money. And so they're trying to sell to as many people as possible. So they're really not taking into consideration, you know, all of us who have different needs. Now, one of the other things I would suggest is, if you ever get to travel again, you know, look at Asian stores. One of the things I notice when I go to Asia with my big size 9s and my size 40s is I can't find shoes to fit me over there, because everything is much smaller. I know whenever I go to visit Thailand to do my training there, you know, they are so much littler than me. All the people that, you know, they're on the whole, they're much smaller people. So do look towards Asia to find clothes that fit. That is one of the things I've really noticed, that the proportions are smaller. They make such so much smaller over there because that's what their population is. So it may not be a Western population, but it certainly is an Eastern population. And so therefore you may want to look outside of where you are and your local stores, and maybe that's going to give you some help. But Deborah, with your large bust, remember, you need things. When you have a large bust, if everything just goes out and never comes back in, it makes it look larger. So make sure your tops actually come back in under your bust, and you will look overall much better. So I know, I wish I could magic up something really amazing for you in your location, but sadly I have no control. But do look to kind of Asia for where you might find clothes that fit. They're amazing, you know, kind of fashion brands and stuff in Asia, that if you go online and stuff, you could probably find some great resources. Second question comes from Louise, who says, I have a very hard time getting rid of things I've had and loved for decades and are still in good shape. Any tips on what to keep and how to know if something's truly classic and what to let go of? So this is not everybody's issue. I know people who happily let things go very easily, but other people just hold on to things for an awfully long time. Now, I have to admit, my wardrobe has some stuff that's completely new or close to new, and other stuff that I've actually had for a very long time. So when I am deciding about what to keep and, you know, what really truly is classic and will last for a long time versus what to let go of, I look at what are the kind of things that you can buy almost all the time and the shape and style doesn't really change. So we'll see this often in things like you think about your classic Burberry style trench coat, that doesn't really change. So that's something that can be kept for a long, long time. Your Breton striped t-shirt is another garment that really doesn't change and also can be kept for an awfully long time. Even many of the kind of classic crew neck cardigans, I mean, these things really haven't changed since the 50s. You know, you can buy a version of them today. So one of the things to look for is, could I go into a store and buy something that's pretty much the same in the same sort of cut, style and shape today as the one that I have at home? So if you go out, do a bit of research, or go online, do a bit of research and have a look and go, does that look pretty much exactly the same as what I have? These are the things you can keep. These are the truly classic trend items that they really don't change shape or style. There may be little tweaks here and there, but there's very little difference between one era and another, and therefore you can't tell. But for other items, you want to go out and so if you can't find something that's the same in stores, then that is something that you go, if there's nothing like what I'm wearing, maybe that's telling you it's dated and it's time to let go of. Look, the thing is, fashions do come around and go around, and there are some sort of things that, when they're more classic, like a classic kind of bomber jacket or, you know, these things come in and out of fashion. You might have to wait some time and you might have to have the storage to do this. But things will come and go. So I always think, but things like the overall silhouette, if you look to what is the current overall silhouette and does what you're wearing resemble in any way what the kind of more current overall silhouette is. This is where I find pants change so much more than things like jackets. So jackets do change. I mean, I remember the huge shoulder pads of the 80s, then the no shoulder pads of the 90s, very different silhouettes. But there are a lot of things that are kind of in between that. They are not extreme in any way. So as long as what you have is not extreme in any ways, you know, we went from very high-rise pants to very low-rise pants to mid-rise pants, back to high-rise pants, probably back going back to low-rise pants right now. But mid-rise is always going to be there because it's not an extreme. So it's looking at what's extreme versus what's not. Is the shape and style still the same? Even things like jackets, looking at the size of the armholes, things like that is part of that overall silhouette that we may not realize, but it is something to think about. I mean, like, and letting go, I always think if it's good wear left in it, but really it's quite dated, I go, let it go. You know, it's not doing you any favors. And you know, this is what thrift stores and stuff are great for. Somebody else can get the wear out of it or may be able to deconstruct it and turn it into something else. There are lots of people who go to thrift stores to find things that they can refashion into something more modern and amazing. But also too is one of the reasons we hold on to some things is to do with emotion. And different sorts of emotion that, you know, we might have bought it somewhere special. It might have been a gift. It's got some good memories, you know, from when we were wearing it, all those sorts of things. But also there is the logic that, you know, it was a good piece. It took me time and effort to find. It's still got good wear left in it. That's that little logical thing. So therefore, why should I get rid of it? But the reality is like all the kind of cost, what is the cost of keeping it? So if the cost is you have to build more rooms on your house because you're getting overwhelmed by your stuff, that cost is much greater than letting the garment go. And one of the things I would suggest if you have a hard time letting things go is to put them away where you don't see them. You know, like, and for 6 months or something even, or like a month or 6 months or whatever it might be. It might be, I think I'm going to let this go. It's going to go into a box and I'm going to put it in the boot of my car. And then maybe it can stay there for a month. And then if I've not gone looking for that thing, if I've really not missed it. In a month's time, I'm just going to take that box straight into a thrift store, maybe write a date on it so you know what date, you know, that if you've not looked at it in this amount of time, like box it up. Don't just hang it in another wardrobe, because often when we hang it in another wardrobe, we still have to see it and then we have another emotional reaction before we can let it go. Versus if it's already boxed up, it's much easier to go, well, if I've not been looking for this thing, so I've not opened the box up, then it's much easier to let it go without ever looking at it again. So we're not bringing those emotions up or that logical reasoning up again. So I would recommend, you know, putting things aside, not looking at them for a while, noticing whether or not there's something that you, you know, really miss. And of course, now if it's the wrong season, we're not going to miss it. But this is why it could be even worthwhile putting things, if you really find it hard to let go, put things away for a year. So in a year's time, if you haven't looked at it in that same season, then it's let it go. Hopefully that gives you a little help there to let go, because it can be hard. Last question comes from Rebecca, who says, I'm cool and deep and smoky. I have a sophisticated palette with brown eyes and hair and fair skin. I'm wondering with lipstick and blush whether there are truly neutral colours that would be flattering. I have found with blush, no. And this is because when we look at, say, blush or pinky colours, if we look at sophisticated, we're going more these sort of pink colours versus if we're going to something warmer, we're a little bit more peachy. But even the pinks are very different. So if you look at what looks kind of pink here, when we're looking at it in this selection, it still looks warm compared to the pinks and sophisticated. So I'd say with blush, absolutely not. You still want to go cooler rather than warmer. And I've never, you know, I have never found a good blush like that. But with lipsticks, now the thing with lipsticks is because our lips have an underlying lip color. So our lips are not white. They've got more pigment in them than kind of the other parts of our face. This really impacts on how a lipstick works on us. And so a lipstick, I've seen the same lipstick look brown on one person, pink on somebody else, and purple on somebody else. That's very different. It's the same lipstick color because that underlying lip color is changing the way that lipstick looks. So this is why with lipsticks, we really have to try things on and we have to try them on our lips because, you know, even they say, you know, squeeze the top of your index finger and then put a lipstick on that. And that's a close approximation. That kind of red is a close approximation of your underlying lip color. But your lips also have chemistry in a way that your fingers don't. That may also affect the way a color looks. So if you've ever had that experience where you put on a lipstick and then it seems to change color within 10 or 15 minutes, this is your lip chemistry at work. And it's to do with the acidity of your skin. So we're all a little bit different. This is why perfumes can smell different on one person to another, to do with our own body chemistry. So it also affects lipstick colors. That said, I have had a couple of colors in my color palette range that I use in lipstick, which do work on both warm and cool. Now, not everybody, but I find that these colors, and maybe it's because they are neither particularly warm or cool. So one is this one here, and it's like this sort of color. Now, this is on the back of my hand, but it's not particularly warm. It's not particularly cool. It's called Spicy Rum. And the other one here is this one called Ruby Rust, which is a soft sort of red. So if you look at those, one has got pearlescence in it, one doesn't. And there is a pinkishness to them, but there's also a little brownishness to them. They are kind of about as neutral as I have found in lipsticks. I have found those can work on both warm and cool. So, you know, these sorts of colors may be possible, but your lips are yours. You know, one of the things I noticed with lips is some people appear to be wearing lipstick even when they're not. They've got very saturated lip color. Other people's lip color is almost faded back to white. So it's really going to change how a lipstick looks. So this is why, you know, trying on things makes a big difference. And why you might have, you know, kind of been a little bit confused, because sometimes something can look more warm or more cool. Like I notice if I try these on, they just look too warm for me. But I've had plenty of kind of just warm people. So people in the sophisticated or the serene palettes who can happily wear them. I've also had people in the enigmatic and intriguing palettes, which are the just warm version, who can also wear them. So I think it really depends on you versus when you're more extreme, warm or cool, they tend not to work as well. And it's probably because you have a bit more pigment. And often what happens as we notice we lose this hair pigment, we also lose skin pigment and we'll also lose lip pigment. So maybe part of it, what this is as we lose that kind of brightness of pigment that we have that may still affect the lip color, that starts to go away because we just have less pigment left. So that's just a little something to think about. So really do, when you are thinking about if you're sophisticated, your blush colors and your lipstick colors are more your sort of pinks and reds versus the warm versions, which are really quite different when you look at them. So even though often when you look at these things on their own, they don't appear as warm or as cool until you actually put them next to each other. And then, it becomes very obvious just how different they are. But yeah, so when I look at this kind of, you know, the warmer, the pink in the middle here of here, so this pink here, which when I'm putting it next to this orange, it looks really quite cool, but really does not look cool in the same way as when I put it next to the cooler pinks. So that is just something to think about. Hopefully that helps you. Thank you for your questions. And of course, you know, color analysis really helps to find your palette, and whether it's makeup, glasses, all those sorts of other things, nail polish, all the things that go with it, also really can, you know, your color palette can really give you a good guide of what you are looking for. I always go, you know, like just when you're out shopping for makeup, you know, use your color palette. Don't assume that you have to just, you know, trust the salesperson. If it doesn't go with your palette, it's not going to go with you because this goes with you. So do use your palette. And so if you need a color analysis, I do those online as well as in person. Plus they are part of my 7 Steps to Style program as well, which also includes style and body shape and wardrobing and shopping, the kind of whole image package. Thank you so much for watching and bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.